And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Dave, I've got good news.
Oh, do tell.
The good news is that we're about to come to the end of two things. First of all political strife in the country is about to come to an end. And also the economy will take off as a result. Because Trump yesterday made a speech to the Turning Point Action Religious Conference called Turning Point USA Faith. And he told them, you won't get out and vote this time. You won't have to do it anymore. 4 more years, it'll be fixed. It'll be fine. You won't have to vote anymore. In 4 years, you don't have to vote again. We'll have it fixed so good, you're not going to have to vote. Now, can anything be better? People are looking for unity. People are looking for ending strife. How about it? Is there something you got against this?
Where do we start?
Well, you start in Pinochet's Chile, in Franco's Spain. You could go to Mussolini's Italy. There are a lot of places you can start.
You started with Mussolini. And more up to date, you start with Kevin Roberts Heritage Foundation.
Yes, that's right.
And the big money backers of those people. As I call it, a theocratic, plutocratic, neo-fascist regime.
Why is it neo-fascist? It seems cut and dried fascist.
Well, yeah. Well, just the American version of...
American version, right.
The American version.
The old American version, the Huey Long version, the Father Coughlin version. That wasn't as elaborate as this version. This version is the same ideas, the same aim. But it's really outrageous. I mean, how this guy's running for office. What's his point? In what sense can he claim to be making an appeal along the lines of the American tradition of electoral politics?
That's the point. It's not along the tradition. This is something new that we can invest in to break up the old network, which, of course, they're blaming for everything. Part of that is constitutional republic. They've been saying it or hinting around it. What's not just Kevin Roberts has said it's the second American Revolution, but the other guy who's talking about post-constitutional, I'm trying to think.
Yeah, that's the fellow who was the head of the OMB, the Office of Management and Budget,
right.
Who's tipped to become his chief of staff.
Russell Vaught, yeah.
Post-constitutional state, which, by the way, J.D. Vance agrees with, speaks yes. That concept. He speaks in favor of that concept.
Yeah, well, Steve Bannon, this is their vision, Stephen Miller.
Yeah.
They've devolved from, trying to win this within the Constitution. Trying to win by any means. And this is just a variation of what the Koch brothers learned after 1980, that their policies are not popular, and they can't win democratically, so they have to revert to other means. That's the thesis in Nancy McLean's book. I was speaking about
The Koch brothers never backed away from that. They're open about that.
No,
they say the democracy doesn't work for us because they say people will vote for their own interests, and the interests of working people are not our interests, so they will not vote for us. They say that. They write that.
But they try to convince the working people that they're
well,
interested.
That is why you need fascism if you're on that side.
And that's Trump. And this is what's been happening. Was it Peter Thiel that said democracy and freedom are no longer compatible?
That's Peter Thiel. But now let me ask you this. When they talk, that's a phrase of a big, a lot of letters in that word, post-constitutionalism. What do they think they mean by that?
Well, they were technically trying to slur what was happening in America, that what they call the administrative state was in some way getting around the Constitution. But what it's like a double entendre. What it really means is we're going to do away with the Constitution and we'll run the state that way. So they at first try to attack what America's been the rule of law and the rule of regulations. And now they're trying to create a new political reality.
But they say that we are already there. We are already in the post-constitutional state, right? Well, in other words, they say that it's the left. They have a weird view of the left. They regard the people like Clinton and Biden as the left. But they say the left has moved the country outside the Constitution. We are no longer governed by the Constitution, right?
Yeah.
And Vance says this all the time. This is right. Vance's point.
Well, and that's what the Clarence Thomases and the Alitos and the Gorsuches on the court are saying.
Right.
That we've turned the running of the country over to bureaucrats. What really bothers them is that there are rules and regulations that prevent this unfettered vulture capitalism to exploit things and people. And they don't like that because it restricts their power grab. I mean, money is their measure of power, but they don't need any more money, so they measure their worth now in how much power can we get, and getting the money is the byproduct of that. We see all over the place what's happened when we don't have proper regulating, we've talked about this for weeks and weeks and weeks. Just today, there's another article about the astronauts that are stuck up on the space station because Boeing can't get its act together, because Boeing's been run by a bunch of green eye shade guys instead of engineers who value quality. I saw something very interesting this week in Paris with the focus on the Olympics. And CNBC did a interview with Bernard Arnault, who our listeners may know as being one of, if not the richest man in the world. He owns all these very she companies like Louis Vuitton and what have you.
Hermes.
Hermes.
Hermes, sorry.
Yeah, we're amazed at Hermes. He at least has a philosophy, and he says, he tells his people that it's not the money they're after. He said it's to make our products desirable for people, and the money will follow. What we have in these guys, the Peter Thiels, the guys running Boeing, the Koch brothers, the people that bought out the Scranton Times, is they have no intention of making their products desirable. They just want the money. They've inverted that idea of capitalism. And I think you can trace a lot of what's happened in America and the discontent to the spread of wealth between the upper 1% or 0.1% and the rest of us to the fact that the American economy has been taken over and run by the money boys, the Wall Streeters, the financiers, rather than the people who make desirable products.
Yeah, but Dave, that took place in approximately 1900.
Well, it got challenged. It got challenged by Teddy Roosevelt, breaking up the monopolies. It got challenged by Franklin Roosevelt, and it was starting to get challenged. You know, it went. I mean, if you look at the 1970s and 1980s, when antitrust became a non-entity. Nothing was, it was all mergers and acquisitions type of stuff. And the Biden administration started cracking down on that to a certain extent to try to change that formula. But now he's going to be gone from that that thing. You know, there was something else more local that illustrated this disdain for rules and regulations. We had that report this week about the frackers dumping water waste on the roadways, despite the fact they've been told not to.
They haven't been told not to. There's a law against it.
Yeah.
There's an actual law against it. You're not supposed to spread produced water, that is to say the water that flows back from the fracking, which is radioactive and poisonous. You're not supposed to use that to control dust on dirt roads, of which Pennsylvania has more dirt roads than any other state in the country. And we have about 80% of the roads in Pennsylvania are dirt roads. And you're not supposed to do it not only because it poisons everybody, but because also it doesn't keep the dust down.
Yeah. They used to oil the roads.
Yes, exactly. But now they're using this flowback water, this water produced liquid.
Yeah.
And surprise, no company reports whether or not they do it, although they're legally obligated to report it. And the DEP doesn't enforce the regulation because there are no reports of violations. But if there were reports of violations, they couldn't enforce the regulation because they've got nobody to do the investigation. Perfect storm, right?
Perfect storm. Perfect storm. Although now we may not, they may not want to do it because they're supposed to try to filter out the lithium from the water in order to help the batteries.
Exactly. But there are no factories yet in this country that can do that.
So we have those things. But anyway, this is the
And by the way, that particular industrial process itself is extremely poisonous and would require all kinds of safeguards. But so far, since nobody's building any of these plants, although they did threaten to build a plant like that in Susquehanna County, but they weren't able to figure out even how to start doing it because of the difficulties involved in making it safe.
Yeah, I remember you were meeting with people about that.
Yeah.
Back a few years ago. A
couple of years ago. That's right.
Yeah.
But I want to get back to Trump.
Yes.
Because things tie together. Trump's role, you know, about this post-constitutional business it sounds theoretical. It sounds like this is something that eggheads would talk about. No. This is at the cutting edge of the whole point of the Trump campaign. Trump's number one campaign slogan is deport the illegals who are an invading army that are going to rape our women, steal our jobs, and plunder our homes, right?
Yeah, and bring drugs.
And bring drugs, right. And there are 20 million of them, and we have to deport them. And the way you do this is with a plan that Stephen Miller has drawn up. And on this one, Trump can't escape. You know, on 2025, Project 2025, he's saying, well, I got nothing to do with it. I don't know what's in it. I've never read it. I don't know who the people are, even though the people who wrote it are all the people who work for him. But on this one, on the deportation plan, he can't escape it because Stephen Miller wrote it, and Stephen Miller is his spokesman.
Well, they're proud of this.
And they're proud of it. That's right. And Stephen Miller's plan is based on mass roundups, mass public roundups in Democratic-governed cities and areas for the purpose of spreading fear and terror and stopping anybody from doing anything in opposition to the program. And the way you do this, because he says the lawyers are not going to know what hit them. The way you do this is you suspend the Constitution and you invoke the Insurrection Act. Right. And the Insurrection Act, which the president has the right to invoke without anybody's consent, gives the president effective martial law wherever he declares the Insurrection Act is in effect, which in his case would be the whole country. It doesn't technically invoke martial law, but it gives him the right to supersede everything, courts, legislatures, elected executives, mayors, governors, what have you. It's effectively martial law. And behind that, he therefore has the right to legislate because he has the right to implement laws to maintain the national safety. Post-constitutionalism is precisely what you would call the actual deportation order, the actual deportation campaign. And interestingly enough, Trump's deportation plan, he says, is for 20 million so-called illegals. Everybody who studied the matter says the number of undocumented immigrants in the United States is 11 million. And to deport 11 million people will take 20 years. He says it's 20 million. Therefore, it would take 40 years or 35 years. He doesn't plan to step away from power. He doesn't plan at all that there should be a need for elections or that there should be any effective elections. For him, this is the way to establish the post-constitutional order. You don't need much. True, Project 2025 talks about restructuring the federal government. It's 900 pages of all kinds of detail. You don't have to go beyond the deportation plan. It's all there.
Well, Jake, let me just tell you, as I envision this, it's not going to take 20 or 40 years. They're going to do mass roundups as quickly as they can.
But that's as quick as they can.
Well, that's what.
But even if it doesn't take 40 years, the point is
what they're going to do is create a huge backlash.
They're going to create violence in the streets. That's what they're going to create,
exactly, which is what they want to give them a further excuse to invoke more martial law.
That's right. Exactly. So you got it.
They've set out a vicious cycle. They've created the vicious cycle which they intend to exploit.
Exactly. And that is American fascism. That's the story. That's the picture. That's what you can expect. And that's what you got to prepare for. And that's why you can't let Trump take power. Or any of these Republicans. They're all in it. They all agree with it. They're all backers of this campaign. And it is the official Republican platform. This is not some faction of a small group of people, you know, plotting to kidnap Governor Whitmore. This is the National Republican Party and every state Republican Party and every elected Republican, county commissioner to senator in the United States Senate.
And, well, and what happened was they thought that this thing, they were on the road to implementing this thing because they saw that Joe Biden wasn't going to win this election,
right?
And they were on the road, and they were, however you want to put it, counting their chickens before they were hatched. They were already planning. This is why J.D. Vance got the nomination. This is why they're, as people say, measuring the drapes. And then all of a sudden, Joe Biden threw a wrench into their plans by taking the high road and bowing to what became inevitable, that he couldn't win the election and he would be taking the Democratic Party with it down with him. And all of a sudden, they not only are dealing with Kamala Harris, but they're dealing with an invigorated Democratic Party. And this whole sense of momentum shift that has occurred across the country, and it's measurable in the polls. although right now things look extremely close, in particularly in the big three states. They're tied within 1 point. What kind of I don't know whether I should be shocked or not, is Trump's ceiling was always around 47%, 45 to 47. And in the polls, he's pulling 48, 49, and even touching up to 50. So despite all of these, all of the things we know about Trumpism, he's gained support. Now, Harris has gained a lot. She's at 47, 48, 49% in these polls as well. The standard talk is that unless the Democrats are up by 2 to 4 points, they can't win. But we heard that before the tsunami, the red tsunami that was going to occur in 2022, and there seemed to have been a hidden vote. Whether there's a hidden Democratic vote, we don't know. We know that the Republicans are playing to their base. If you remember, Donald Trump went from, 61 million to 74 million, and he's hoping to jack that number up, and he may be able to get that further part of America. We don't know. That's what's occurring politically right now. But there's no doubt Trump has lost the narrative, and he's lost the momentum at this stage. And they're flailing around with all these things, like that speech that he gave, and some of J.D. Vance's nonsense talk, which seems to be backfiring on him. So that's where the race is right now.
So how is Kamala going to, prevent Trump from taking power? What has she got to do, and can she do it?
Organize. And what we saw was, within the first couple days, she raised, $126 million from 1.4 million people, many of whom were new. That means she's brought them into the system. I saw a statistic, if I remember correctly, there were 273,000 people signed up to volunteer for her, new people. Now, of course, it depends on where they are in the key states, but that's what needs to be done to shake the tree of those reluctant voters and those there's no difference. Remember those people, there's no difference between the Republicans and the Democrats. Well, they don't have that excuse anymore. There certainly is a difference that they can see. It's no longer two old men. And that's what Donald Trump is afraid of. He's talking about backing out of the debate, on the one that he had scheduled with Joe Biden on September 10th. He doesn't want to see that contrast. And to date, Kamala's line about she's prosecuting, I was a prosecutor and he's a convicted felon, it hits home with Trump. And he has no answer to that. He has no answer to that. And right around that debate, he's supposed to be sentenced, if you remember. We're just going to put that back in the public eye. And there's going to be a hearing in September, I believe, in Washington, D.C., to sort out the immunity issues. So those things that are negative for Trump are going to be coming out again. I don't know whether or not the momentum can be sustained. It's hard to sustain this sudden rush of momentum, but now it's a short campaign.
Well, there's only 4 weeks
until the convention.
Until the convention, right?
But sometimes you come out of the convention with a lot of momentum.
That's exactly the point. Exactly right.
Clinton Gore, really came out with. They came out, roaring, that bus tour, if you remember. So.
But even to the convention, what do we have? A, a, about 100 days, 110 days, something like that?
About 100 days right now to the election.
To the election. Well, that's the amount of time most countries use for elections.
I was just going to say
campaigns.
That was it. What was probably a little bit less than 100 days in England. And then then we have that phenomenon that's been happening pretty much around the world. Brexit, the Brexit vote was sort of a precursor and a warning as to what was going to happen in the 2016 race between Bush and Clinton. Now we have the opposite effect. Poland went to the polls and threw out its far right government. We had France actually had about three rounds of voting. The first one, which caused Macron to call a parliamentary election, the first level of parliamentary elections, and then all of a sudden, you had this move leftward in the round that counted. We saw what happened in England. I know you've given us an analysis about how that might not have been such a great difference in the vote, but surely the momentum and the overall effect were to the left. So maybe there may be that hidden.
And in India, you had
you
had Modi stopped. Really, people were saying that the Hindu nationalists, who are equivalent to the evangelical fascists in this country, they were saying that that group would just sweep, and that group not only didn't sweep, barely managed to get the majority.
Yeah, but they did what the Republicans here did. Remember when the Republicans had that autopsy after the Romney election that you have to do, and the Republicans said thank you, but no thanks, we're going to double down.
Right.
Well, that's what they've done in India. They've doubled down.
Good, and they lost out.
Yeah, and so we're and that's what Trump's doing. I mean, he's they're all in on doubling down. So we're going to have to see how that plays out. But right now, it is a momentum shift, and we're along for the ride at this point.
Just shows how important it was that Biden did withdraw, because nothing he could do would have produced this momentum shift.
Right. Yeah, and I spoke last Saturday to the Pennsylvania League of Democratic Women, and there was, you got the sense that, a sense of determination. They were, this was before Biden pulled out, and they had that little bit dragging on them, but they weren't giving up. They were looking to fight. And then I talked to a couple of them after the Biden thing, and she said, we're roaring to go. We're roaring to go. And I got that sense up here in the Clark Summit Abington area at that meeting with Chris Kelly from the Scranton Times. These folks were really pent up. They just needed a direction, so to speak, and more of a cause to do it. And I think that they're there. So,
all right. Well, that's all the time we have this week.
And we covered a lot.
We didn't cover enough. We covered a lot, but not enough. So
who knows?
Well, Kamala's campaign is going to pick up next week. The GOP is going to maybe get back off their back leg and try to figure out what to do, because they are in some disarray at the moment. So it'll be an interesting week in a very short campaign by American standards, not by world standards. So it'll be interesting to hear what your point of view is about the developments next week.
And to hear yours as well. Have a good week.
Have a good week.
Bye.
All right, not bad, I think.
Oh, I think we covered a lot.
Yeah.
I think we got some of that stuff in, and we came back to the central stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. All right, I'm off. I got to do things here.
Yeah, I got to make a call. I got a call while we were here from a guy who's been battling cancer, and he's been in the hospital now with pneumonia. So I want to see how he's doing. He's a good guy. So we'll see.
Good luck. Right, good luck. Talk to you. Bye.
Yeah, thanks. Bye.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.